Well, I'm calling this teaching today, and I think very apt, Walking by Faith in These Troublesome Times. Walking by Faith in These Troublesome Times. And I don't think anybody needs to rush to the scriptures to find that we are living in troublesome times. And the question that I put over to every one of us, all those is the news getting better? Is it getting better? No, not at all. And I wonder why. It shouldn't be a shock or surprise to the overcomer. These are all the signs of the times that Jesus spoke of these last days that we would live in. However, we need to be in faith, because we're living in times of troubles, times of woes. And if we're not on our guard, if we're not indeed walking by faith, we're going to find at times we are overwhelmed and consumed by the things that happen, the news that we hear, or what's happened to your neighbour, or whatever. This is why we need to walk by faith. And we need to keep our eyes solely fixed upon the kingdom and seeking Him and Him alone, because otherwise you are going to be taken down by it. You are going to be drawn in by it. And when I speak of these terms, what I'm saying is that we're going to be emotionally disturbed and affected. It doesn't mean to say that we do not have emotion as Christians. Indeed we are. Christ had emotions. But they were always emotions that were given back, if you like, to God. They were always emotions that would turn to God for that source, that help, that stability, that balance. And you know as well as I do that when we take our eyes off the Lord, we become very emotional. And our emotions begin to govern us. And then our emotions begin to work logically, intellectually. And there is every emotion for the intellect, logically. Logically, there is emotion attached to everything. There's even emotion to going to college and learning. Some people are emotionally moved by that. There are emotions that are found in sport and in activity. I mean, those emotions really get high. You go to football matches. If you want to see emotions run high, you look at these matches. And there are emotions for everything. So we are emotional people, we are emotional creatures. God has made these emotions, but sadly, because man has fallen, these emotions have fallen as well. And doesn't the devil know how to use man's emotions? Most wars have been created by the devil using emotions. And so, there is emotion to it. Did you know that there is an emotion behind pride? The feeling of pride, the feeling of being elevated, is a strong emotion. It's an emotion of recognition. It's an emotion of control. It's an emotion of dominance. And so on. That's why the devil uses this one so much in man, in society, and so on. So we are emotional creatures, but as we seek the kingdom, as we look to Jesus, as we keep in prayer, and as we commune with Him, so He works those emotions. He has a way of supporting them, anchoring them. As we take up our cross daily and we die to that self-life, so the emotions then that are there no longer consume us, overwhelm us, cause us to sin, to fall into temptation. I mean, you read in the scriptures where Christians are falling into sin and temptation. It's all because of the result of emotions. It's overwhelmed, overtaken. And yet God has provided me. We're even told in the Psalms that when our hearts and our flesh fail us, God is the strength of our very heart and being. Why is it our hearts and our flesh fail us? It's because the emotions have just become overwhelming. And they do. The emotions in Christ that night of his betrayal in the Garden of Gethsemane almost overtook him. But it was prayer that enabled him to fulfill his Father's will in going to the cross. That's why also prayer is so important. It is that anchoring. And there have been times that I have just gone before God and have said, my emotions, they are running wild. They are overtaking. They are consuming me. I have lost discernment. I can't hear you. And so on. But as I cry out, the supporting hands of God are there. And in time, you know, you get over it. And when you look back, you think, really? What was that all about? How the devil used it and amplified it and twisted it. You see? That is why I'm calling this teaching today, Walking by Faith in These Troublesome Times, because the devil is using, in these troublesome times, these times of woes, he's using the emotions. This is why the news is like it is. Every time you put the news on, it is negative. Somebody has been murdered or mugged. Or there's a latest war that is developed somewhere. Or terrorism. Or we're hearing of floods and famines and earthquakes. There is always something. Tomorrow, if we listen to the news, there'll be something on there. And what will it do? It will move us emotionally. Now, for the Christian, one of the wonderful ways is that we can channel that by prayer and intercession. So those emotions that you feel, and they are sometimes. Sometimes when I have watched the news, and I find it absolutely wrenching when they show you these pictures of people that are starving, children that are starving, with malnutrition and so forth. That is something that just emotionally just moves me beyond recognition. But I've learned to take that emotion and start to pray and intercede and to channel that emotion through. Do you know our emotions can be so powerful in intercession? Channeling that through. Because we pray with the whole being. Yes, you can't laugh when you hear or see these things. When people go through what they go through, and you could just say to yourself, well, if it was not for the grace of God, there go I. And you're emotionally moved. What can we do? The greatest thing the Christian can do is to get in your closet and pray that through. Intercede through. Don't become hard. Don't suppress these emotions that are naturally there in things that happen. The problem with Christians is that because they lose it with their emotions, is they've not learned that through those emotions, which are God-given, that you take that and channel that through in prayer. And then somehow it lifts. The heartache of it, the effect of it, somehow then starts to become a hope. God's heard my prayer. I know things will change in this awful situation. Somehow then it becomes faith. It's this hopeless feeling that is attached with emotions. And I know that one. I know that one. And then we can find, yes, I am walking by faith in these troublesome times. Yes, I know what to do when I see something or I hear what's going on or whatever it is. I mean, you know, some of us have just been talking lately about the sickness that is around. It's just unbelievable. People are falling off the perch, as we say. I mean, it almost seems as though cancer has become epidemic. You know, it, and it feels sometimes overwhelmed by it. And it's like, well, who's next? What do? We channel it through in prayer. We can bring this all to God in prayer and intercession. And leave it there. And watch the mighty hand of God work. You know, I try and take comfort when I hear of things, or someone I know is ill, or something has happened. It's not by coincidence. It is not by chance. We have got to learn as Christians that we are walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. So these things that we encounter, that we hear, we see, has not taken God by surprise and shouldn't take us by surprise if we are really starting to learn to walk in the Spirit. Because this is what this is about. And we, as overcomers, should know what to do. We have the Holy Spirit who has been given to us over every trial, over every situation, over every bad piece of news or shock, whatever. We have the Holy Spirit who is there in us to meet that need. Amen?
Amen.
And that is why we can get in prayer, we pray about it, we intercede, we give it over to God. Because that allows, releases the power of God into that situation that otherwise looks hopeless. Now, brothers and sisters, this is going to help us to walk in these troublesome times, because the news is, it's not going to get any better, any easier. It's going to get worse. We have been told, we have been warned, we have been prepared that in these last days, everything is being unleashed. Disease, famine, sickness, you name it, it's all happening. It's all being released. So we are to walk in these troublesome times as overcomers. And the key to it is to bring it back to God in prayer. Bring it back to God in prayer. When you have been moved in some way or form, that is a reason. You are picking up the Father's heart, how he feels. If you see some cripple in the street, maybe God doesn't want you to go over and lay hands on them, but you are moved by that person. You have the means to channel that back immediately, walking in the street. Father, I lift that soul to you now who's suffering. Father, in the name of Jesus, reveal yourself in your mercy and grace to that person. And just prayed in the Spirit. And then that emotion that you felt, that wrenching of the heart that you felt, you channel that back to God instead of taking it on yourself and being overwhelmed by it. Which is what we do sometimes. Sometimes it just, you know, I know I've said this before, but it bears such witness. I always remember a testimony years ago of a woman who lost her husband. He died. She was a Christian, baptized in the Holy Spirit. And 2 days later, I believe her son committed suicide, hung himself. And she went, as she said, literally out of her mind. The emotion was so overwhelming, it just paralyzed her. Now, I don't know how you or I could stand in a situation like that. To me, it is unthinkable. However, it happened. And the only thing she had, was tongues. And she kept praying and speaking in tongues. The Spirit was just praying through her. She just kept, and they thought she was actually gone off her head. Literally gone insane. They didn't know whether to call in the medics or what. She just kept in tongues and tongues. And the day of the funerals, and they had both the son and her husband, the funerals were together. When the funeral took place, she was able to raise her hands and sing and praise God. The Spirit took over. Now, if that doesn't speak of walking by faith in troublesome times, then I don't know what is. That is the power of giving it back to God. That is why he shows us it in the first place. That is why he moves us like he does in the first place. If you are feeling sadness in emotion, you are feeling how God is toward that situation. Because God has emotions and feelings, and he wants the overcomers to be able to experience that. That is what sonship is about. Sonship, maturity, is taking on how God feels in a situation. When Jesus prayed for the sick, when he raised the dead, when he healed the lepers, when he fed the 5,000, that was the heart of God, how he felt. And if Jesus wasn't attuned to that, and walking in the Spirit for that, it would never have happened. Because he said, I do that which the Father reveals. How much more us who have the Holy Spirit? And yet so often we quench him. And we quench him because of our flesh, our emotions. Now our emotions have got to be, I hate using the word, but I can't think of anything else. But our emotions seem to be, in a sense, have to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to channel them back. Otherwise, all we have done is we have become emotional, we have become affected, and what use is that to anyone? You know, some people, when they're ill or they're going through a hard time of it, they actually don't want always help. I'm a little bit like that, and God's working with me. And the reason being is because it's a feeling, don't pity me. Don't have emotions over me, because they don't help me. Now that seems hard, and people can feel rejected by that, but it doesn't help. Being all emotional, getting all upset, can almost border on patronizing. That is not helping that person. What is helping, maybe, is just, I'm here, you know where I am, I'm in prayer for you, here's my phone, I'll come round tomorrow, I'll just pop my head round the door, whatever. Maybe that's often what is needed. And then it opens up from there. But some overwhelm and come straight in, full guns. You can't take it, because the emotions are there. This is where we need to be sensitive and to walk by the Spirit. Jesus encountered needs every day in his walk, and he passed many, many cripples, many begging, many, many needs. But he was led by the Spirit to those whom the Father was going to be glorified. That is the point. Now God is teaching us this. It's not an easy lesson. Sometimes we can interpret it, oh, doesn't God seem hard? You know, it seems so hard. Unloving. It isn't. What he's doing is saving us from ourselves so that we can walk by faith and not by the flesh and by the sight and what we see and be overwhelmed and taken in. And we are going to see some things, brothers and sisters. We're not through yet with this. And I said to God, Lord, I need the strength. And coming back from India twice, and having seen what I have seen, it is just hammered home to me how I need God's strength and support. Because I didn't want to go out, I didn't want to go and meet those lepers and whatever it is, and patronize them. What use is that to them, who are dying of disease? And yet I was overwhelmed. Yeah, I put dark glasses on, because under those dark glasses I was crying. But I didn't want them to see me crying because of them. What use is that to them? But I was, and I was crying inside. And I knew emotions were rising up in me that were consuming me, and I was of no use. until I could pray about it, I could get it to God, and I could get it balanced. I could get the support of God anchoring me. Because it was overwhelming. And it does. We're human. We feel these things. But there is a way we can channel it through, praise God. So we are to walk by faith in these troublesome times. Well, with that brief introduction, let's turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 to 6. This is in the context of the great apostasy, the falling away of the last days. And I know that we have read this many, many times, but you know, the epistles to Thessalonica are really epistles about support. It's about helping them to stand in apostasy, in trouble, in persecution, not to be consumed, to be overwhelmed by it. So it's an epistle to encourage the saints. And really today, I think this is what God wants to do. He wants to encourage us. And he says here in verse 1, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him as we ask you, not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time." And so it goes on. So often, you see, we think our faith is for just blessings. Our faith is that I get healed, that I get my needs met. Or faith is because I'm oppressed, I need deliverance, and so on. It does have that side to it. And certainly we have and will experience our faith reaching out for those needs. But our faith is far, far greater and bigger than that. Our faith is for these troublesome times that we are living in now. We are seeing democracy, as we know it in the West, crumbling. Everything that man knows, everything that politicians are conjuring up, inventing, throwing at democracy, ain't working. And it's very evident. And there is a reason for it. And so as we're beginning to see democracy starting to crumble, as we know, everything that is built on democracy, everything that depends on democracy, is going to be shaken and affected. Be it from the economy, to the workplace, to family life, education, health. They're just some of the major things that I have brought up that depend on democracy to function. And they are the very things that are starting to be shaken. I know I've mentioned it to one or two, but a student of mine last week, I overheard when I was teaching, she said that her father-in-law, who's very elderly, about 90, had rung his daughter about 3 o'clock in the morning, who is in hospital, the local big hospital nearby, who's supposed to have got a very good reputation, and a feeble voice crying out, "Help me, help me." And she went over there in the early hours of the morning and found that he hadn't been fed properly, he was dehydrating. I don't know whether she took him home, and found that he'd lost nearly 2 stone in weight. That's hospital. We hear it come up, don't we? Over and over again, being exposed. But is it changing? Is anything happening? They'd say it is, but it isn't. And I'll tell you why. They can throw money into this. They can organize it, they can get management to but you can't change the heart of people. Because the heart of people, their hearts are failing them. And the signs of society, hearts failing, is you become selfish, inward looking. It's about survival. You survive. Blow anybody else. I've no time for them. I'm in trouble. My heart's failing me. I'm oppressed. I'm unhappy. Things are going wrong in my life. I haven't got time for anybody else. Nurses are human beings, the same as anyone else. Doctors, physicians, you name them. That's why it's happening. Because hearts are failing. Scripture tells us this in the last days. So when you see hearts failing in society, you start to see the selfish side of society coming out, because it's about survival. You look at animals when they kill their prey. They're not worried about, well, you have your bit first, and once you finish, I'll have mine. No, they fight for it. Who's going to have it? Who's going to have dominion over it? It's survival. And it's in human beings. And so we wonder why the level of care, whether it's in the shops, when you're, who's serving you, or at work, management, politicians, you name it, hearts are failing. And this is because democracy is crumbling. They don't fully see that. But it's like standing on a shaky foundation. Man can't depend on money anymore, which is power, because it's in a mess. I hear now on the news we may be going into a triple dip. Well, anyone who knows anything about it is actually very serious. If that is the case, because that's worse than during World War II, which was pretty bad, and after. So we're on the brink now of this unfolding. And this is why we are to walk by faith in these troublesome times. Because everything is beginning to crumble. And that is why it's all being prepared for the Antichrist, who's going to come in with this new world order. And they're going to think man will be so desperate at that time for anything or anyone who can bring in a new order, just to bring some stability, to bring some happiness, to bring some hope. Man's going to be in a desperate state. And God's allowing it to happen. So we, the Christian, the overcomer, where do we fit in this? How do we stand? Are we going to find that we're going to get consumed by this? Are we going to find that we're going to be taken down? Or have we learned our lesson and are learning our lesson that we are sojourners, simply pilgrims passing through? I am not of this world. I'm of another kingdom. My dependence, my joy, my happiness, my provision, my all, my everything, I do not depend on this world giving it to me. This is why we talk faith like it is. Not to trust in the arm of the flesh. Medical science is going to let you down. You think your pills and your drugs are all the answers. They ain't going to be. I tell you, these guys that do research and everything, they're more concerned. They don't let out half and a quarter what they're actually concerned about. The germs, the viruses, mutating all the time. They can't keep up with it. There are diseases that possibly could be released or could come into being just like that, and they can't, they haven't got the drugs for it, or they haven't got the research, they haven't got the time, or they haven't got the finances, because all research needs finance. Cancer, I don't have to tell you about that. It's now epidemic. It doesn't matter who you talk to. You get talking and someone's got cancer, or somebody in the family's got cancer, or somebody's just died, whatever it is. It's absolutely epidemic. Are we going to be drawn and taken down by this? Or are we above it? Are we above all this news that we hear? Are we above all this financial problem? Are we above all of this? That is the question. That's why I'm teaching this morning. Because you either know or you're not. And you'll know by your emotions. You'll know whether it's consuming you or not. You'll know whether you're being taken down by it or not. But God's showing a way of escape. And we are troubled by it. But the way of escape is take it to God. Take it to God in prayer. It is not your burden. It is not your responsibility. And we've got to learn this one. It is God's responsibility. All my responsibility is to channel that in prayer. That is my responsibility. And God will take over. He will take over. Well, here in these six verses then. He says, then, now brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, he then goes on, we ask you, and that goes into verse 2. Well, I brought this out before, but he shows the importance of what? Gathering together. So that is a vital clue to our standing, surviving, overcoming, enduring to the end, that we gather together. We encourage one another. We have the word ministered to us, and so on. It is absolutely vital. This is why we need to pray for some of our brothers and sisters who disfellowship themselves and just gone off at the moment. Because they're going to be otherwise overwhelmed, consumed by the spirit of this age. So he says, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, our gathering together to him. We are concerned, we are dealing with the coming of the Lord. His coming is near. So that should inspire us and encourage us to gather together, to come together. Yes, I know it's an effort. Some make that travelling week after week. But in eternity we're going to see that was worth it. So this is why we fellowship, because it's about the coming of Jesus. Then he says in verse 2, and we ask you now not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. So our troubles, our trials, are not to let us be confused or deceived, as if it seems Christ has come, or is here, which some have done. Some cults, because they try to read the times, it's all trouble going on, wars, rumours of wars, so they try and predict the coming of the Lord, or some preach that Christ has already come. There's teaching on that. So there's all this confusion about the coming of the Lord. Why is there? Because they obviously discern and see the times that we live in. But the point is, because they're not really walking by faith, they're being drawn and drawn in by the emotions. The emotions will try and predict the time when Christ is coming. It comes out of the intellect. It comes out of the emotions. And so they make these predictions. But the Bible tells us they're false prophets. You see, it will not take overcomers who walk by faith off guard, because they know what the Word of God says about that. But you see, he says, don't let anybody deceive you. In that day will not come, either by spirit, word, or by letter, as though the day of Christ had come. So they were wondering whether Christ had come. They'd missed it. They'd missed the rapture, because of the trials and persecutions that they were going through. So he said, don't be shaken in your mind. Where does the devil try to work? In the mind. Or be troubled by spirit or word or by letter. So we can be troubled in the spirit by the things we hear or we see. This is what I've been talking about, being overtaken by it, to the point that we lose all sight of Christ, prayer, faith, the word, and so forth. Everything that we hear, yes, things will trouble us, but that should cause us, through the teaching and preparation we've had, to just go on to Christ. Everything that we hear, every trial should throw us yet more upon Him. That's what it should be doing. If you have been learning this over the years, if you have been taking it in, then the signs you have been taking it in, that whatever you go through, it's throwing you more on Christ. That's a sign you're an overcomer. But if you find yourself, oh, what's God doing? Oh, what's happening in my life? I don't know what's where I am. I'm just totally confused. I just feel like getting away, running away and everything. And what's God saying? The overcomer knows what to do. You have allowed troublesome times, things you've heard, to completely overwhelm you and confuse you. That's what they do, because it comes from the enemy. That's exactly what the devil wants. He wants to confuse you. He wants to confuse your emotions. He wants to confuse you so that you're overwhelmed by it. Well, praise God, we have the Holy Spirit, and we know by His love, grace, and mercy, He'll not allow us to be tried or tested above that which we're able to endure. So He's faithful. But there we are. We can identify with that. And then in verse 3, it says, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. Now we've got to remember that our trials and what we go through and everything isn't dependent upon the coming of the Lord. So my trials and how I feel surely must bring the Lord soon. I mean, I thought that. So it must be pride thinking that way. I thought, well, gosh, you know, we're going through this and I'm feeling this and going through that. Lord, you can't be far away, surely. As if God is dependent on what I'm going through. So he said, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin be revealed. Friends, we're not far from that, falling away. That is taking place right now, this very moment, this very second, while I talk. In the world, right round the whole of the world, there is now the falling away. Not just in Great Britain, not just in USA, not just in Australia, the whole world, now we are seeing a falling away. And if you are seeing any economies at the moment that are booming, I can assure you it is just temporary. It is temporary. And God has got a purpose and a reason. But it ain't going to last. Why? Because economies are like domino effects. That's how they work. They repercuss one to the other. It hits off. That's how it works. So, we are seeing it here as it says, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and then the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. So there has to come a falling away, there has to come a breaking up of democracy, we know it, as governments obey, and in this falling away, in the desperation, then the Antichrist at the right time strikes. But I have to bring in at this point verse 6 in connection with that. And now you know what is restraining that he may be revealed in his own time. So God's got it under control. Antichrist comes forth bringing a new world order But he doesn't come bringing this new world order in great jubilance and in joy and happiness. He sees that. He actually brings this new world order in hate, aggression, and anger. Why? Because verse 6 tells us. And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. What is restraining? What is stopping this fully coming forward? What is stopping at the moment the Antichrist from being manifestly seen on the earth? It is you, the overcomers, the church, the bride. She at the moment who is still in the world, she stops, holds this back. So God uses this, because there is a remnant to be brought in, uses this all to restrain back the Antichrist until the church is raptured, caught away, and then Antichrist can no longer stay in the heavenlies where he is, where he should not be, because that's where the church should be. Then he has only one thing to do. He is commanded, he is told now to leave. He has overcome him by the word of their testimony and love not their lives even unto death. They are the overcomers. He now has to be cast to the earth. And the only thing he can do is to enter into a being, a person, and set himself up as the false Messiah with a new order. So he ain't coming rejoicing. Society thinks it is. The world will think, oh, this is a lovely new order coming in. But the deceptor, deceiver behind it, is the one who's coming with great revenge and wrath. It's tragic, isn't it? And most don't see this. They don't see this. And if you see this, then blessed are your eyes and your ears and your heart, for God has revealed it. Hallelujah. Verse 4. Who opposes, exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So he's going to try and wipe away all of God's standards. He's going to try and wipe away God's infinite love, grace and mercy. He's going to attack the very heart of God, which is his love, his grace, his mercy. He's going to attack the good news of the gospel, that salvation is to be found in Christ and Christ only. He's going to try and wipe that all away, that you can go through this ecumenical means, you can get to God any way, anyhow you want. In other words, you can serve and choose God, and you can worship him whatever suits you. And he's going to be the God of all of that, after the flesh, after pride, after rebellion. That's what it says. It says he exalts himself above all that is called God. What does it mean by that, that's called God? Everything that we hold to, everything that we believe, that we overcome for, everything that saints gave their lives for, martyrs, you name it, everything through history, it says he will exalt himself above all that is called God, or God himself, his standard, his word, or that is worshipped. Now, you see, that brings Satan's downfall. Because he's going to attack the very thing that God is jealous over, is worship. And he's going to try that one, and that will be his downfall. He will demand worship. And that is why he will introduce the mark of the beast, 666. He will, freedom of Christianity that is known, freedom of your faith, everything will be suppressed. And anyone who believes upon the Lord Jesus Christ or still holds the gospel will be martyred. And you say, how could martyrdom come in the 21st century? How could that ever happen? How did it happen with 6 million Jews that were martyred, put to the gas chambers, and most of the world didn't know anything about it? Oh, come on. Don't be naive. It'll be the same type of thing that'll happen again. It'll all be covered over. It'll be happening behind the scenes. So that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, the abomination of desolation that Daniel speaks of. The epitome of abomination. It could not be any worse. That is why Satan is to be found in the lowest place of the pit in hell, in total torment, because of what he's about to do. That's why he's a betrayer in nature. He's already planned. He knows what he's going to do anyway. And it's his pride, his wrath, his anger against God has so blinded him from really seeing what is going to actually happen. That's what it does. That's the nature of pride, wrath, anger. It blinds you from your destiny, what you face. Well, it goes on, verse 5. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? So here is where preparation is essential. What we have learnt, received, is so vital. It's so vital. That's why we've got to take everything in now. Because this is our standing now. This is why our meetings, every time we gather together, this builds us in standing for what we face in the future. This meeting today, our gathering together today, this hearing of the word is preparing us for future things. And in light of eternity, we're going to thank God for these meetings. We're going to thank God. Oh, I remember that meeting. I thank God for that word. How that supported and helped me through those trials. If I hadn't been there and I hadn't heard that word, I probably would not have been an overcomer. This is preparation, you see. This preparation is so essential to us so that we learn to stand, to walk by faith in these last days. How does God do it? He does it by us simply opening our hearts to the Word, to this Word, and letting the Word do it. The Word knows what to do. All God's ever asked of you and me is to have that simple childlike faith to believe. Open your heart, and that will cause you to stand and walk by faith, because God has promised He'll do the rest. God has never saved you so that you've got to try and build your faith. You've got to try and believe back your faith and so forth. That was bondage back when we were kids. We're now grown up. We're mature. We're sons. No, all he ever asks, believe. Just believe. And God will do the rest. Hallelujah. He will make an overcomer out of you and me. And finally in verse 6. And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. So we believe this to be for the overcomers, and we're holding back all these events that are taking place, because it says in verse 7, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. The sons of God are raptured, taken out of the way. Then Satan comes forth with great vengeance and wrath. Woe, woe to those that are left. It's called the mystery of lawlessness. I'm always interested in words. Why is it called a mystery of lawlessness, which is already at work? Do you know why it's a mystery? Because most don't see that we're living in a lawless society. But you do. Because you are blessed that God has opened your eyes to see. That is why it's a mystery. The falling away, the crumbling of democracy is a mystery. They don't understand it. They don't know why. They can't see. Because democracy, politicians believe that democracy stands by their ability, by governments. Doesn't. It's simply because God has permitted and allowed it. You won't hear governments talking about a theocracy, will you? When Christ comes to rule and reign, not at all. But the church should be preaching it, and doesn't always. So lawlessness is what we have to overcome and walk by faith. That's what you're doing now. You're having to overcome, walk by faith, lawlessness. This rebellion that tries to war against you and I. Let's face it, brothers and sisters, you don't have to work at being rebellious. Sometimes you think, well, where did that come from? That's the society we live in. The lawlessness, the godlessness that there is trying to affect you and I. That's why God's made overcomers out of us. And that's why we're to walk by faith, as it is so easy to compromise with the spirit of this age. It's so easy to compromise with humanism. Humanism is lawlessness. Humanism is rebellion. Humanism is changing laws as we know it. This is why there's such confusion in this country, whether we stay in the EU or not. Because England has been blessed in the sense that much of our laws, and through Magna Carta, was Christian based in that sense. Humanism, Europe, wants to override all of that. Magna Carta, I don't know all the words, but it says that you will not have any other force, any other pagan country, any other dictator or despot that will take over this nation. And the Queen, she vowed to that at the coronation, to protect that. Because it's a Christian country in that sense, with Christian principles and laws. This is why we have such confusion in this nation, and division. This is why you need to pray now at this time, and for the government. Whatever we think, whatever we like, whatever it defends, God permitted and allowed it. That is why England was able to send probably more missionaries over the centuries than any other nation in the world. This country is still envied, even now. And it's only a product of grace. But humanism is the religion that is taking over. And it's lawless. It's rebellion. It's new age. It's the age of Aquarius. A new order being brought in. And what is humanism? What is its philosophy, its basis? Human equality, human rights. We are all equal in the sight of God. And that goes right across. This is going to offend. I'm sorry, I have to say, it's Bible, but this goes right across predestination and election. God will choose whom he wants. Jacob I love, Esau I hate. If you've got a problem with that, take it up with God. Because that is what God is sovereign. He never makes a mistake. And so his whole order, what God has set in the world, that divine order, is being totally violated by lawlessness. And it's by the work of the Antichrist spirit. It is Antichrist. So we are being delivered from this, brothers and sisters. We are coming out of all of this that once held us, gripped us.
defiled us, defiled our family soul. This is a massive deliverance that God is working in bringing forth the overcomers. I don't think we actually realize what the Holy Spirit is doing. And he's doing it through the word, through the anointing, through the baptism of the Spirit. Hallelujah. This is why there is so much confusion that there is today. Young people, young families, youngsters are being brought up in this absolute confusion. They don't know what's black and they don't know what's white. They don't know what to call half of things anymore. Everything seems to be changing. You're getting different names for things. Names that we knew are changing now. And you mark my words, it's coming. The next thing will come is when man and woman marry, no longer does the woman have to bear the husband's name. It's not equal rights. You wait, give it time, that will change as well. So she can retain her own name or a different name. She doesn't have to bear the husband's name anymore. You watch, that'll come. You've got people lobbying now for everything. You name it, somebody's lobbying for it. And something else you're beginning to see that I've noticed, that animals are now beginning to be as sacred and on the same level as human beings. And you're going to see more and more of that coming. Because animal lovers who are held by emotions now believe that they're like human beings. Another one. It's endless. It goes on and on and on. What does it create? It breeds utter confusion. People don't know anymore. Why? Because it's violating God's standard. Well, praise God, I could go on with this. Education's being affected, careers, future, marriage, divorce, litigation, you name it, everything. Absolute mess. Praise God, we are overcomers. Praise God, he's called us out of this world. Praise God that we can bow our knees down and in his presence, and we can worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What a deliverance that God is setting over our minds and hearts. How he's opening our eyes to see. And not only that, but we can channel it back in prayer and intercession. Wow. Marvelous, isn't it? Hallelujah. Father, we thank you today. Thank you that you want us to stand in these troublesome times. That is why we still walk by faith. And our faith comes by hearing the word of God. And that's why you get us together. Because you get us together for our faith. Because you want us believing. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for speaking to us today. Just again revealing to us the times that we live in. But Lord, we thank you that you are snipping away all affection in our hearts for the things of this world and its ways. Father, please continue to do it, we ask. Capture our hearts, our whole being, Father. Let none of our affections be in this world when you appear. You sound the trumpet, you call us up. Lord, please, let us all be ready, waiting. Even though we know there's a tarrying, and there's a sleeping, because we see that with the five wise and five foolish virgins. But let us, in your mercy and grace, Father, be those five wise virgins. Lord, every meeting, every word we hear, let us hear it in faith, in godly fear, and channel it back to you in prayer, we ask. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name.
As the river ever flowing. Jesus is